Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our consideration today are the words of the gospel reading. It says in Matthew chapter 16, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Set us apart from this world for yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I find it really interesting that a group of Hollywood executives can sit around a table somewhere and pick a child out and turn that child into a celebrity. Now there's Hannah Montana, the Olsen twins, Shirley Temple. When they say that that child is going to be a star, it's like magic. And suddenly, that child is known everywhere. A lot of people think that religion is like that, that somewhere a group of people decided to make Jesus Christ the superstar of Christianity and Muhammad the great prophet of Islam and Buddha, the enlightened one. There's a grain of truth in that. People have made Muhammad and Buddha and many other religious figures. No one made Jesus. No council or pope, no pious-sounding philosophy could have done that because Jesus didn't claim to be a special human being. He didn't claim to be a cut above the rest or anything like that. Jesus made the extraordinary claim that he was and he is, and he always will be, the infinite, true, and only God. Think about that. It's pretty difficult to imagine anyone taking him seriously if he were not the real thing, let alone imagining that some group of people just manufactured him out of thin air, made him some kind of celebrity for us. The real difficulty that you face when asking who Jesus was, who he is in dealing with the answer that he gives. He claims to be God. And yet most certainly he's a human being. If he were not being truthful, think about this, then either that man is a liar or a lunatic. There aren't really many other possibilities, are there? If you have any knowledge of Jesus' words and his works, then you can't arrive at either of those conclusions. But the question of who Jesus is not just an academic question. The answering of that question in your hearts has eternal consequences. Jesus said, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, The Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. This is the reason for that exchange between Peter and Jesus that we hear in our sermon text today. The real question of importance is not the first one, who do men say that I am? The real question is, who do you say that I am? So this morning we're going to take up that question, who do you say that Jesus is? And I hope that you'll follow me through this sermon, really looking and examining your own heart and not thinking that this is just some kind of academic exercise in Christian doctrine. This is an opportunity for real soul searching. And it's an opportunity to hear God's counsel and word. The first thing that we should do is walk with Peter for a little while and imagine the Lord asking us, who do you say that I am? Do you say that I'm the Christ? Now, this question might seem easy for us today. After all, we're here at church, sitting in the pews, and it might be easy to say, Lord, of course, you're the Christ. That's why we're here. But I want you to imagine what Peter was going through, walking there in Caesarea Philippi. Imagine that the religious leaders of the day had been trying to tear down Jesus at every point. The equivalent today is they'd be on the TV, on the talk shows. They'd be talking about Jesus and what a strange person he was. Another equivalent would be going to a college classroom where a professor is tearing down Christianity right and left and sneering at you and the few others like you who would answer that Christ is the Son of the living God. Then that question, do you say that he is the Christ? Well, then imagine yourself standing there alone in the world, surrounded by people who don't confess that, who don't know that. We should all examine our hearts. This is exactly what Jesus bids Peter to do at that moment. What about you, he asked. What about you? We should examine our thoughts and our words and our actions. Can we stand before the Lord with a clear conscience, knowing that we've confessed him before the world, before our neighbors, before our relatives, before our friends? On this particular occasion in our sermon text, Peter does make that good confession about Christ because God had given him faith and strengthened that faith through the Word. But remember what Peter would later say in that courtyard of the high priest when Jesus had been arrested on those trumped-up charges. Remember, Peter's the one who said, I tell you, I don't know the man. I'm certainly not any better than Peter, nor are you. We have all, at times, spoken untruths about Jesus. Every time we try to sugarcoat Christianity, we confess some other Savior than the real one, don't we? Some false Christ. When we downplay sin and ignore it altogether, then we're ignoring the real Jesus. We become like those Hollywood executives and make a more comfortable, more popular, more non-confrontational idol. A cushy God. And we know it. I think we feel it in our hearts often. But when Jesus really becomes unpopular and inconvenient, when he would demand too much, then somehow we lose sight of who Jesus is. Do we really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do we believe that his word fashioned the world and gives eternal life? Do we believe what Paul says when he writes, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Were these words not given by God to St. Paul? Do they not echo Jesus' own words when he says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead? And didn't he also say, Heavenly Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And did he not himself commission the apostles, Peter included, and send them out into the world with these words, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. Clearly the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that's Jesus' word. And yet how many of us here today study and cherish and memorize it, hold it in our hearts as diligently as we possibly can? How many of us are ready to share the hope that we have? How many of us are ready to confess before the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who became one of us to save us? Don't ignore this. Don't ignore this line of questioning or get upset about it. Don't allow your heart to wiggle away from the Lord as he speaks to you today. The Lord is rebuking us out of love. You know what he's done for us. The Lord, that same uncomfortable Jesus, says, yes, you've done wrong. You do not love me as you ought, but do not despair, because I am the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. How many times does he say that in the Old Testament? Turn away from your sin. I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Commit your ways to me, and I will teach you. I will shepherd you. I will give my life for you on the cross so that your sins are fully paid for. Jesus is meaningless to us without that cross. Without it, we'd still be in our sins and our trespasses. We'd still be stuck looking for some more comfortable Savior. But with the real Jesus, there's a real cross, a historical event where Jesus gave himself for the sins of the whole world. There's real forgiveness because he did it and it's finished. Every sin is paid for. It's incomprehensible, as we saw in our Old Testament text, in our epistle text, it's incomprehensible how God in his wisdom can turn even our sins to our good. It's incomprehensible how all this can cost us nothing. It's incomprehensible how we can't be the origin of our salvation. We can't be the ones who do this work. It must be God. It doesn't make sense that all our sins are forgiven, but that's what God says to you today. He says, I forgive you. I love you. The proof is there on the cross. The proof is in the real Jesus who gave his life for you. So let's not trade that away just to have some temporary earthly comfort. Hold on to the real Jesus and confess him. He suffered eternity in hell, in your place. And then he cast that aside to give you eternal life and sprang forth from the grave on the third day so that you know you have eternal life. That's wonderful. And to make sure that you have that as your own possession, he has caused Christians down through the ages to confess the truths. He caused Peter that day to confess that Jesus is the Christ. He caused Matthew to write that down for you. He caused all these Christians before you for the last 2,000 years to repeat these words so that you would have it today. He sent his Holy Spirit so that he would work in your heart with that word to build up your faith, so that you know of nothing to trust but the real Jesus. God would not have otherwise for you. So will you stand with Moses and the prophets and the Lord's apostles? Will you stand with me? Will you stand with your fellow members here at Our Savior Lutheran Church, who by God's grace confess that Jesus is the Christ, the only true God? Will you stand up and make that good confession with Peter and all the believers? Today we're yet again at a crossroads. We can make the choice to return to that comfortable, smooth, wide path that avoids the real Lord. Or we can respond in God-given faith to his call when he says, "Come, follow me." Will we drop everything like Peter? Listen to his word? Now, don't misunderstand me here. Peter continued to fish and to feed his family and do the things that God had given him to do. But in his heart, where was he looking? It was to Christ's word. The question is really about what is important to us, blood-bought sinners, the redeemed of God. What's important to us? Are we going to order our lives and our decisions for our own comfort, for what we like, for our own pride, for ignorance, whatever it might be? Should we not order it according to the Word of God? May God give you the strength to do that. We would follow him. We would be a part of that great cloud of witnesses that God has put all around his word to confess it to the world. We would stand with Peter in all our frail weakness. We would stand with Peter by God's strength, by that God-given confession, and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. May God keep us in his word, and may he keep us strong through that word by his Holy Spirit, and guide us in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.